I don't know if that's a good sign or not. I'm starting out with a drink of water. I'm going to be straight up with you guys. This talk is not going to be an easy talk to receive. We're going to be challenged with things that we might not have been challenged with in a long time, possibly not ever. And I guess I give that disclaimer because I know as humans in our flesh, as soon as we hear something that maybe is personal, we start to build walls. And what I ask today is that we don't be masons and don't build walls, but we be sponges and soak it up. And when we leave here, dig into it for ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you as men, sitting here, Lord, listening to you. I just pray that I'm your messenger to speak your truth and boldness today, God. God, may I stand in the shadow of your cross. Lord, when these men see me, I pray that they see you, Jesus, with a hat on backwards. Lord, I just know that you have something that needs to be shared today, God, and I'm just humbled and just honored to be able to be here. Like the men before me that speak to these group of men, it's a privilege, and it's in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I've been praying for months. I've known about this talk and been excited about it. It's about the discipline of witness. And in regard to discipline of witness, I'm thinking, how can I talk about witnessing if I'm not sure that all of us understand truly what the gospel is to be witnessed about? So you think we're assuming that everybody knows what the gospel is. It's kind of like saying to an electrician, hey, can you tell us what electricity is? But I don't know that every single one of us, including myself, I've been on a big study, an in-depth study of what the gospel is and how to communicate it and articulate it. And just as Stan shared with us, you know, there's a family that asks, you know, to be praying about their salvation. You know, if we're put in their path, are we going to be able to articulate what the gospel is so that the Lord can draw them near? To use something that Greg Gilbert wrote in a book that I recently read, What is the Gospel? Fitting title, of course. It's here in your sheet if you guys want to follow along. Greg wrote, an emaciated gospel leads to emaciated worship. It lowers our eyes from God to self. It cheapens what God has accomplished for us in Christ. The biblical gospel, by contrast, is like fuel in the furnace of worship. The more you understand about it, believe it, and rely on it, the more you will adore God, both for who He is and for what He's done for us in Christ. Just as Paul cried out in Romans 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For those that know me know my heart, and that the rest of you are just going to have to trust the rest of these guys, because the intention of this is not to beat us up. This is an intention to be a challenge. So it was encouraging to hear Kevin's heart last week, because he spoke on disciplines and how disciplines, they're not going to be the things that are going to sustain us. So this gave me the confirmation to throw away the talk I've been working on for about 2 weeks and say that, you know what? It's all right. We can change what the talk's going to be because the Lord's leading it. This isn't about me. This isn't about Ty. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share passionately today about His passion for us to understand and know what the gospel is. And in the spirit of baseball season, I was going to have you guys pass around a baseball every time I said gospel just to keep you awake. But after I got done with the talk, I used gospel, I think, 46 times, and I think that would have been a little distracting. So if you're lucky, they'll ask me back when it's bowling season and we'll throw a bowling ball around. All right, let's get to the talk. This talk is a result of a combination of books, studies, trials, experiences, podcasts, friends, guys like you in here that have been iron sharpening me, and most importantly, God's life-breathing Word. That's the same Word that Kevin spoke about last week that ignited that Holy Spirit, Holy Passion fire. See, not too long ago, I'd have been the guy that said, I don't want to speak behind Kevin Butcher. Are you kidding me? But I was praising God because I knew that this week when I came in with this challenge that the Lord's given me, I won't look like such a radical following that guy. So I was appreciative of it. I need to send him an email and say thanks. It was cool to see how God united our hearts in the vision of His message. I'm thankful for Kevin because he listened for His message, God's message, because it set the stage beautifully today for this message. Kevin began to talk about his relationship and the relationship we need to have with our Creator in order for us to intimately know Him and realize His love for us. If God is a drill sergeant for us, then how are we going to share Him to others? Who in the world is going to be attracted to a God that's a bunch of rules and not love? Rex Gingrich also did a great job of teaching us a few weeks ago about leadership. Do we remember when Rex helped us to realize that we're all leaders because of our ability to influence? I want to draw that same conclusion with witnessing. Witnessing to somebody, we are always witnessing. It's just like leadership. The challenge is, what kind of message are we sending? Is it a good one or is it a bad one? I like to think of it as, am I glorifying God or am I stealing the glory from God? In the book we're going through, Disciplines of a Godly Man, Hughes uses the average disciple, Andrew, as an example of someone that had an extraordinary heart. Just because he was a disciple doesn't mean he was the only one qualified to witness. I point this out because how many of us have heard the excuse, or even used it ourselves, that we're not qualified, whether it's because of our position or our maturity? Usually it sounds something like this. Witnessing or evangelizing, that's not my gift. That's his gift, or that's the gift of the pastor. That's what he gets paid for. Thank you, Pastor. Granted, we're all at different spots in our walk, and some of us have personalities that make it easier, and some have personalities that make it more difficult, but that doesn't exempt us from sharing the gospel that we're called to. In the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew 28:16-20, Jesus calls us as believers to make disciples of all nations. So let me ask us this. How are we going to make disciples if they haven't even heard the gospel? When I feel inadequate about disciple making or in the area of witnessing, I like to remind myself of who I am and what I truly deserve. I was able to receive the grace and mercy by hearing the gospel in which I was saved through in the faith of Jesus Christ. Christ chose us before the foundation of the world, and as I dig into the Word of God, I can find encouragement in the truth of His great plan. Back to average Andrew. Although he was considered average, it was his extraordinary heart that birthed a passion to witness about God's greatness. Where do you think he got this desire to have a heart that was extraordinary? It was God doing the wooing of his heart. Andrew was known as a relational evangelist. He spent time with people, he built relationships, and that's what built the bridges so that he could share the gospel. He ate with them, he drank with them, he did life with them. As I've been wrestling through what the Lord wanted me to share over the last few months, it became clear right in front of me that the Lord calling my family and I to plant a church north of Kokomo was what was very evident because of the study that I've been doing on the gospel, that it wasn't just for that community. It was for all of us. And it's for such a time as this that we're going to share it today. Sharing the gospel is what each of us are called to do. Right now I want to take the excuse away that it is just the pastor's job to do this. I mean, of course it's the pastor's job to do it, but it's not only his job. It's our job as well. Be encouraged, the word of grace that was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, and continuing with the word in Ephesians 4:11-14. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. He gave them this work to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Remember from earlier when I referenced the Great Commission, how we're called by Jesus to share the gospel? I'm not a pastor, but I am compelled through the passion and the love that I have for my Abba Father. And not just him, but his mission, to share the gospel with others through more than just relational evangelism. Don't get me wrong, I started with relational evangelism, obviously, and I want you to know that I'd still be there if I was still on the milk. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. But we must grow past the milk and chew on the meat. We must chew on that meat so we can grow and mature into the men that God's called us to be. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This means we must go beyond sharing a cup of coffee, a meal, or cutting someone's grass. Again, don't get me wrong, these are all good things. These are vehicles to build trust so that they will listen to us when we're able to share the gospel. But when we get to the gospel, we need to share it with the word. What I'm about to say may not line up with what we've always thought in regard to this quote. So again, I'll ask that we don't become masons and build walls, but be sponges and soak it up. How many of us have heard the quote by St. Francis Assisi, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words"? This has to be one of the most misleading quotes of all times for me. Preach the gospel at all times, and use words when necessary. Preaching means speaking, which implies words. We can't rely on the old adage that actions speak louder than words. The gospel is something that happened, that took place. It must be described with words, unless we're running around reenacting the gospel presentation in the form of a drama. The gospel is not sharing a cup of coffee or cutting someone's grass. Remember, those are avenues in which to build relationships so that we can share the gospel. I think the quote would be more effective and more accurate if it was worded like, "Witness at all times, and when necessary, use words." Do we see the difference between preaching the gospel and witnessing? Let's do this. We don't have time to everybody sit down and write down what the gospel is, but just take a second and formulate in your head what you think the gospel is. I'll give you just a second. All right. Who feels confident enough to come up here and share with us what you thought of, what you formulated as the definition of the gospel? And it's a question, not rhetorical. How many of you guys feel confident to come up here and share with all of us what the gospel is? Got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. So if we took a look around the room, we'll see how many men are really willing to share the most core essential thing in our faith. This is the mission that Christians have staked our entire lives on. I don't want to sound like I'm beating us up again. I remember not too long ago, I would have been the guy that would have been doing the half hand or not the bold one to do it right away. Or there's a few of them that started going up as others started going up. See, this is when it hit me. If I can't articulate the gospel clearly, then how are we going to evangelize people, what we're truly called to do? If we were to break down the gospel as a definition, we could separate it into four parts. And I put it on that sheet if you want to fill in the blanks. God, man, Christ, and response. God, we're accountable to God who created us. Man, we sin against God and will be judged because of it. Christ, God has acted in Jesus Christ to save us. And then fourth, the response. We take hold of salvation by repentance from sin and faith in Jesus who died, was buried, resurrected to save us from our sin. This isn't necessarily the way that we're going to present it to somebody. This is for us as a teaching tool to know that we have these four parts of the gospel in our head so that as we're sharing with people, we're able to go ahead and make sure that we hit all four parts. Each person's going to be different. Each person might know the character of God and we don't spend a lot of time there. We might spend more time on us and our sin, or what Christ had done. And then, if the Lord chooses so, He'll draw them near as a response. I want to suggest memorizing Romans Road as an effective way to walk somebody through these four parts of the gospel. I'll ask another question. How many people have the Romans Road, or know the Romans Road, heard of it? How many people have it memorized and could share it? One, two, few. And I'm not perfect, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try and share with you. It's not going to be in full quotation, but it's going to be enough that I can be able to articulate it and then hopefully have a Bible and share it with them. Walk them through the pages. Let them turn the pages. Let them see it for themselves. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 10:9, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that Christ was dead and God brought Him back to life, then we'll be saved. And then the result, there's a few of them. 5:1, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with our God through Lord Jesus. Another one, 8:1, that therefore there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And then 8:38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's plenty of verses in the Bible, guys. If you need to, go to your Bible, write them down right in the front, do a little cheat sheet so that when you're there and you have your have the Word of God, you can actually walk people through it. Another good one is the 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. This is where Paul preached in regard to the resurrection of Christ. There are lots of scriptures to reference, but the point is that we need to know Him, guys. We need to know Him so that the Holy Spirit can work through us and discern what part of the Gospels we need to emphasize on, but all of them need to be there. And this is the important part, which really helped me, but we can't be fooled into thinking by what we're doing or what we're saying being right or not so right or wrong while sharing the Gospel will result in the salvation of that person. We put too much pressure on ourselves to do it perfect, and when in actuality, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that does the work. God will draw the person to Him as His will, glory, and pleasure desires. And He will choose to use this in spite of our wording, what we wear, our hat, if it's forwards or backwards, how straight the lines were that we cut in their grass. Now, it's important to do all these things and do them the best that we can. Not saying that we don't put the time in to study, but when it comes time to it, we're going to share, and we might stumble and fumble, but do you really think that it's because we stumbled and fumbled that that person isn't going to get drawn near to God? No. How many people do we have in here that have been saved because of the Gospel? All right, not too shy of that one. That's good. Praise the Lord. Obviously, I couldn't see everybody, but obviously there might have been some hands that did not go up today. Today might be that day that you as a person are being wooed to God, that you might be here today for the purpose of God saying, you know what, today is the day that I'm going to draw you near. Honestly, if you feel a pounding in your heart, you want to grab your table leader and head out the door, grab Poppy on the way out, that's great. It'll be a distraction, but it's worth it. But if not, you can listen to the rest of the talk, and then as you turn into your table, tell your table leader. Tell them what you feel going on inside of you right now. So how are people going to be saved? Yes, of course, it's because of the will of the Father, but we must still hear the Gospel presented, like I mentioned earlier in Romans 10:14. That means we must tell people, as it says here in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. I'm not sure why we've slacked off in our sharing of the Gospel or how we share the Gospel. Maybe it's a presentation like this that needed to kick us in the pants, that we're not living in the days of years past, when it could be said with a blanket statement, even people that didn't even call themselves Christians knew and understood the character of God. That isn't the case today. We can't assume that people have a base knowledge like they once did. This means we must be more intentional about our sharing and starting with who God is. We're getting our butts kicked by Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, Muslims, and other religions because they're devoting themselves to be approved to what their false God is. How many of us are confident that we could have a conversation and be able to refute these false teachings? Remember Ephesians 4:14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried around by the every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. This is why Kevin said last week that we have to put our Bibles down if we're doing it out of purely devotion and fall in love with the Creator, so we'll be able to stand for His truth. If we are in love with Jesus, then we will want to know His truth so we can proclaim His namesake for His glory. Here's another self-reflection question. When was the last time that we shared the Gospel with somebody? Has it been weeks, days, months, years, ever? One step further, when was the last time that we shared the Gospel and we were able to rejoice because God drew Him near at that time and we got to witness that salvation? How many people have had that experience to see somebody? Is it not amazing? One more. When's the last time that we had a non-believer over to our home? I ask that question because it challenges us to break out of our Christian cocoon of friends and invite others in. We all got to be more intentional about sharing the Gospel. I want to echo something that Kevin Butcher typically says in his talk, that we can't only be about this little time that we have here at Huddle. We've got to break from here, go to the streets. We need to share what we're learning, what the teaching is. These questions are not meant to be directed at your cup area, but they land there if we're honest and we're convicted. Again, this has all been a real-life application for my family and I over the last 3 years. the light bulb went off for me, and I felt that it'd be robbing you guys of the opportunity to share the joy that God has been able to share with us. These are some of the questions that were asked of my wife and I when we started this church planting endeavor. We sat in front of a panel of pastors who were there to assess our ability to be church planters. It was a stark reality that what we were doing wasn't as good as the job as we thought we were doing at Living on Mission. We passed the assessment, and they were excited to have us on board, but it was much harder. We had to work much harder to be that disciple and to share the gospel. One last challenge. Kevin alluded to it, but I want to take it to be more specific. When was the last time we teared up over those that are lost? Maybe it's someone that you work with. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a group of people, a community, a country, a tribe, an organization. Again, guys, we need to fall more in love with Jesus and pray for our hearts to be broken for what breaks Jesus' heart. I'd like you to listen to the words of this song as Ryan Ramsey comes up to play. You'll find sheets on your tables that have the lyrics printed on them. As you're reading through and listening, who are we in this song? Who am I? Who is Ty in relation to this song? Are we not one of the few that are ashamed of the gospel and will boldly proclaim that it's our life? Romans 1:16, as Pastor Paul prayed, is praying me in. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Go ahead, Ryan.
And you are the fullness of the beauty I seek. You are, you are. And you are the healer of the broken and weak. You are, you are. And even though few may stand and proclaim your great name, it's a passion I see. Live the life, and there is none like you. Not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I will stand and boldly say, this is my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I will stand and boldly say, this is my life.
You are the victory that conquers the grave.
You are, even though few may stand and proclaim your great name, it's a life that we live. I'm convinced there is no not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I will stand and boldly say, this is my life. Not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I will stand and boldly say, this is my life. See, I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I will stand and boldly say,
shout it out,
this is my life. Not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I will stand and boldly say, this is my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I will stand and boldly say, this is my life.
Heavenly Father, God, we just come before You right now, just thankful, God, that we can stand here challenged today, God. God, may we leave here challenged and not beat up. Lord, may we be encouraged to seek further, God, Your desire, Your will for our lives. As men, that as we lead our families, as we lead our homes, as husbands and fathers, God. God, as we have a place and a purpose, as we learned with leadership, our influence, and as our ability to witness, God. God, what are we witnessing? Are we bringing You glory or are we robbing You glory? Lord, may the discussion around these tables be a blessing today. God, may we understand fully and know more fully, God, that we need to be more dependent on You. God, we know that You are the one and the only one that saves. And Lord, we just want to proclaim that boldly. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.